I want to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. This morning here, I want to deal with something that's extremely important. It's important to everybody who is a Christian. All believers are interested in what I'll be dealing with today, because there is not a believer that is not affected by what we are dealing with today in the Scriptures. I want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm going to read one verse of Scripture, and that is verse number 11. Paul says, and then we'll look at the context here in just a moment, but he said in verse 11, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." When it comes to Satan, there are some things that we know. We know we're not ignorant of them. We know that he is our adversary, that he is the greatest enemy that we have. Now, we know that that Satan himself is limited. He is not, thank God, he is not omnipresent. He can't be in all places at once like our great God is. Thank God he is not omnipotent. He does have a lot of power. He has much more than any of us, but he is not omnipotent. He don't have all power, and there is a limit. There is a limit that God will allow him to go, and then God puts the brakes on him. Now, as far as his presence, he is not omnipresent, but he does get around. I want you to understand that. He does get around. He covers a lot of territory. The Lord Jesus, or God, asked him in Job chapters 1 and 2. He said, "What have you been up to? Where have you been?" He said, "I've been walking up and down in the earth, going to and fro." He covers a lot of ground. I often, you know, get it in my mind that he has moved in at 124 Yarbrough Drive where I live, but that's really not the case, and I'm not sure if he has even been by there. But he does have a lot of help. He's got many helpers in the form of demon spirits as well as sinners. I mean, he uses lost people, and if you and I let him, he'll use us. And so he's got a lot of helpers, and so he covers a lot of territory. There are things that we know about Satan. We know that he cannot be tamed, that he cannot be domesticated. He is wild, and he always will be wild. We know where he came from. God created an angel named Lucifer. And he was good when he came forth from God, because God can only create good things. God himself is good. And I've told you time and time again that God did not make a sinner, that God made man upright. Ecclesiastes 7:29, "God, lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright." But, and there's the problem, man has sought out many inventions. If you'll look that word invention up in the Strong's Concordance, in the Hebrew, it literally means a weapons of war. And man, in his fall, became an enemy of God and began to create weapons of war against God. Man is in rebellion against God. And because he has joined forces now with Satan, not only is Satan fallen, not only did Lucifer fall, according to Isaiah 14 and 12, but man now has fallen as well. And then in our natural condition, we are all enemies of God. Now we know that Satan is an adversary. He cannot be saved. He is incorrigible. That is, he is so hard and he has no conscience, and it is not possible for him to sign a truce with God. He cannot be saved. Would you believe that there are people in history who have said, let's pray for Satan, that God will save him? But that cannot be. It is impossible. He has already committed the greatest sin that anyone could commit. And that is, he has blasphemed the Holy Ghost. He has blasphemed God. He has blasphemed the Lord Jesus Christ. He blasphemes the church. That is, he uses his tongue to speak great swelling words against God and against the truth of God. And he does so in many different ways. Satan cannot be saved. And he is our enemy. He is the enemy of this world, even though the world is in force together with him. I don't believe Satan loves anybody but himself. And I hope y'all will pray for me. This week is probably going to be a tough week for me, because you can't preach on the devil and attack Satan without him causing great afflictions and battles. And so you pray that God will help me this week. But I'm satisfied he wanted me to deal with this here this morning. Satan is out to destroy. The thief cometh, said our Lord Jesus. He cometh to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And we are up against him. He wants to destroy our church. He wants to destroy our lives. Parents, he wants to destroy our children. And I'll tell you, the only weapons that you and I have against him, they are not carnal weapons, but they are spiritual weapons, and that is prayer and communion with God. If we don't have that, then dear friend, we can expect destruction. The devil is against us. I want to preach for a while today on this thought. Know your adversary. Know your adversary. He knows you. He knows me. Brother Bill, he has looked at us. He has looked us over. He knows our daily activities. He knows the way that we are leaning. And he liked to give us that big shove in the wrong direction, of course, especially if we're already leaning that way. And so Satan is out to destroy. And you and I had better get to know him better. Don't ignore him. The worst thing you can do is ignore an enemy. You got to watch him. You've got to watch your enemy. Keep your eyes open. Because he wants to sneak up on you. He wants to take advantage of you. He wants advantage of our church. He wants advantage of our homes. He wants advantage of our individual lives. We are up against an enemy that you and I cannot defeat apart from the power of God. And that's the reason we have got to be a praying people. There's where we're going to find our power. That's the reason we've got to become better acquainted with the Holy Scriptures, because this is our sword. It is our defense, the blessed Word of God. And this is the only thing that remains demon splitting sharp. The blessed Word of God can cut the enemy to shreds. That's the reason our Lord Jesus used it when Satan attacked him in the wilderness. Jesus quoted the Scriptures to him. This is the power of God that splits the devil in many pieces. He can't handle the Word of God. That's the reason we've got to live this Word. We've got to live it out. Dear friend, you and I have got to, we've got to get in the Word of God before the Word of God can get into us. And as the Word of God has gotten into us, then we can live it out. We've got to have the Word. We've got to have prayer. The devil knows us. You know Brother Frank McGuire. Brother Frank used to preach it here for us at times at Peachtree and a few other places around us here. Brother Frank, of course, was a student in his early days of Brother Ralph Barnard. And he had what seemed to be much of his ways and his methods of preaching. And he used a lot of quotes of his teacher. But Brother McGuire told me, and I've told you this before, but he told me on one occasion back in my earlier days as a younger preacher, he said, "Brother Tommy," he said, "study your enemy." He said, "study your enemy. You've got to know him. You've got to know about him. Because he is a lion on the prowl. You got to watch him. Study him." And I've learned that. And in my daily Bible reading, while I'm reading the Scriptures, I'm looking, of course, first of all for God. I believe we need to study our God. And if we will study our God, it will give us peace and joy and comfort when we run across the Scriptures where we study our enemy. We learn of God and we never forget that while Satan is powerful, God is all powerful. And Satan cannot do anything without divine permission. He cannot do anything without God giving him permission. And I used to like this about Brother. It was Brother Frank McGuire that used to say, "The devil is God's devil." Amen. He's God's devil. The devil don't like for God to use him, but God does. He'll use the devil any way that he sees fit. And let me just stop long enough to say this. Praise God, the time is going to come when God is going to say to Satan, "To the lake of fire with you." Amen. You're going now to the lake of fire and brimstone, where you will be tormented day and night forever and forever. And when God takes the devil and puts him in the lake of fire, the church of the living God and the saints of the living God are going to shout, "Hallelujah!" Praise the Lord. It's going to be a great day. We know how all this is going to wind up. Praise the Lord. Now the truth of the matter is, and it's a difficult truth to face, but it's true. I have learned more. Well, I have learned some things about Satan. Let me put it this way. While I have learned some things about the devil, out yonder on the battlefield in particular, I have actually learned more about me on that battlefield and in those battles, those difficult places. We learn about the devil. We learn about the enemy, about the adversary. But we learn more about ourselves. If you want to know yourself, just ask some of these guys that were in Vietnam or Korea or whatever the case. If you want to know about yourself, just get out yonder on the battlefield. You know, it's amazing what we will think and say about ourselves until we're tested. Jesus said to his disciples, You, when they come after me in the garden, you're going to run. You're going to deny me. You're going to forsake me and leave me to face them by myself. And Peter and the rest of them said, no, there's no way we're going to do that. No, Lord, why, if you go to prison, we'll go to prison with you. And if you die, we will die with you. That's what they thought about themselves. And I would imagine that they actually thought that. But then the test came. And what did they do? They all ran. And one of them, who had just one bit of covering over him, and that's all he had, didn't have anything underneath. He just had the sheet around him. And why that was, I don't know. But he had the sheet around him, and when he took off running, somebody grabbed him by the sheet and yanked the sheet off, and he ran naked. Anything to get away. Let's not talk about what we will do on the battlefield, because we might embarrass ourselves. As a matter of fact, when we say, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, we better say, if it be the Lord's will, or by the grace of God. That's the way it is. On the battlefield, adversity is the state in which man most easily becomes acquainted with himself. I say it again. I wrote it down to make sure I'd say it, because I want it said. Adversity is the state in which man most easily becomes acquainted with himself. And during this pandemic, we're going to become more acquainted with ourselves, how we face it. Who are we trusting in? The politicians? The so-called expert doctors? Or are we looking to the Lord? Do we believe that God has a purpose for this and a reason for this? And is there not, even in this, testing going on? The testing is not just done when they take that swab and ram it up your nose. God's doing some testing too. So on the battlefield, I'm going to find out about Thomas McElroy. How skillful, how unskillful that I am on the battlefield. How wise, how foolish. How dedicated, how uncommitted. How courageous, how cowardly. How holy, how sinful. It's all going to be told on the battlefield. When the enemy comes against us, or if we become spiritual enough that we actually invade his territory and attack him, we're going to find out about ourselves. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, for just a moment, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul's final epistle. The last inspired words that would be recorded by the apostle. The apostle. 2 Timothy 2, you there? Here we go. Paul said to Timothy, "There, thou therefore, my son." Please note that relationship that Paul has with Timothy. My son. Because the saints of God are interconnected. God joins us together and He says, you are all members of the household of faith. And when the Lord talks to each one of us who are truly saved, He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And we are joined together with the Lord Jesus Christ, having been adopted into the family of God. And we recognize the Lord Jesus not only as our Lord and our Savior, but He is our elder brother. He is our elder brother. He is our heavenly Joseph. Amen? I don't want to treat my heavenly Joseph the way the earthly Joseph was treated by his brothers. I want to honor my elder brother, the firstborn of the creation, the firstborn from the dead. He is the firstborn in that He holds the highest position of the children of God. We're interconnected. What I do affects you. What you do affects me. Thou therefore, my son, and since you are my spiritual son, I'm very interested in you and your welfare and your safety. So He said, let me instruct you here. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me. You've heard my teaching. You've been with me, son, and I have taught you. You have sat at my feet. And those things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. He said, you go and teach others what I've taught you. Because they're going to need this same guidance and these same truths because they're up against the same enemy we are. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. These truths that we're dealing with are truths that are worthy to be passed on down the line. Passed on to others. Now watch the next statement. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I've asked God to help me, and I guess a lot of times maybe this is part of what puts me in these difficult places in my life. I don't know if you're aware of it, but a lot of times when we're praying, if we're praying in the will of God, we're asking God for hard places. Because when we pray for patience, and I believe we ought to pray for patience, I've heard believers say, don't ever pray for patience. Because tribulation worketh patience. And so when you pray for patience, you're asking God for tribulation in your life. I got news for you. You're going to have tribulation in your life whether you ask God for it or not. That's part of living on planet Earth. Tribulation. Man that's born of woman, a few days and full, not a little bit, but full of trouble. And you can't find any place on this earth to hide from it. You can't find a place to hide. Now, I'm not talking about, I know the Lord is our refuge, and I know we run into the tower of His name, and praise God, we're safe. But that don't mean that the bombs are not exploding. They're still exploding. And I'm going to tell you, the closer you get to God, the more difficult you're going to find living in this world to be. But I'm also going to tell you, I have found, praise God, that it is well worth it. Getting close to God, there's nothing to compare with walking with the Lord, in communion with the Lord, even though it brings tribulation and persecution and all kinds of trials and difficulty. The war is on, but praise God, there is a sweetness and a joy and a peace you can find in God even in the most difficult times. Just get as close to Him as you can. Thou therefore, you remember in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, when Paul said to Timothy, he said, Timothy, don't be ashamed of my chain now. Don't be ashamed of my chain. I know I'm in prison, and I know I'm locked up, and I've got chains on me. I'm in the worst possible conditions. I'm in a dungeon, and I'm about to give my life. But he said, don't be ashamed of my chain. He said, instead, Timothy, be a partaker. Take part in these kinds of sufferings. Because this is sufferings for Christ, for the glory of God. What did he say about the hardness? Now that he in chapter 2, he says, Timothy, he said, endure it. Endure it. There is enjoyment in being a Christian, but there is also an enduring that must be done. Endure it. And if I wanted to, I could move right here into the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. Because that's how we persevere, by enduring. We endure the hardness. Everything about Christianity is not hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory to God, I feel good, click my heels, run the aisles. It's not all about that. Christianity, as long as we are on this present earth, means there is a war on. There's a fight on. Endure hardness. Endure it. It's coming, Timothy. You're going to find yourself in the trenches. You're going to find yourself at times when it's necessary to fast and to pray. And to draw up real close to your commander-in-chief. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't say, I quit. Endure. Hardness. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, I ask God continually, Father, I want to be a good soldier. I don't want to just be a soldier. I want to be a good soldier. A good soldier. You know what a good soldier does? A good soldier follows orders. A good soldier endures. A good soldier does not retreat, but presses forward. I ask God, help me, Lord. I want to advance in your kingdom. I want to advance in your kingdom. A good soldier will endure to the end. He goes on to say in that 2 Timothy 2, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. If you're going to war, if you're going to be a good soldier and endure hardness and fight on the battlefields against your adversary and stand with your commander in chief, if you're going to do that, he said, you cannot get tangled up in the affairs of this life. Don't get tangled up in the world. Don't do that. Because all it takes to get tangled up, all it takes when you are tangled up, that's all that it takes to trip you up. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. I think one of the saddest statements that Paul ever made was in 2 Timothy 4 when he said, Timothy, he said, hurry up and get here. Do thy diligence to come quickly to me. I need you here. And then the next statement, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed down to Thessalonica. And I wondered what was in Thessalonica that meant so much to Demas. What was it there that so attracted him, that made him love this present world, that he would be willing to forsake the Apostle Paul, and even more than that, the Apostle Paul's Savior and Lord? What was it there that had him so hooked that the devil was reeling him in, using something in Thessalonica to do it? The only thing, I guess, that could have been sadder to the Apostle Paul would have been had he been writing to Demas and said, Demas, my son Timothy has forsaken me, having loved this present world, my spiritual son in the faith. He goes on to say, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him, that he may please God. That's what Christianity is all about. Who hath chosen him to be a soldier? God chose us to be soldiers. And so we ought to set out to please him. What an honor it is to be one of our great God's soldiers. Amen. And then the last statement I want to read here. And if a man also strive for the masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. You know what he's saying? He's saying, if you're in a game, you're in some part of the Olympics or whatever, he said, you're not going to win. You can't win the crown unless you obey the rules. You've got to strive lawfully, according to the Holy Scriptures. Let's don't come down here to the end and mess up now. We're going to get the crown. And I promise you it's going to mean much more to us than we realize. If we're going to get it, we've got to obey the rules. Strive lawfully. Margaret Thatcher, that tough prime minister of Israel back during the Reagan days, she was tough, buddy, I tell you. And her and President Reagan, they were just like that. They were big buddies. They were tight. You know what Margaret Thatcher said? She said, "You may have to fight a battle more than one time to win it. You may have to fight a battle more than one time to win it." If any of you guys were in the battle at Vietnam, you know that they had sent you to take a hill. I've heard them talk about taking a hill. I don't know if that meant a literal hill or what. Maybe a stronghold that the enemy had set up. But they were to take it. And so they would gather the forces together, and they had begun to attack to take that hill. And maybe the defense of that hill was stronger than they realized. And so they repelled and they fought back and they fought hard. The enemy, the Vietnamese. And they weren't able to take it on that battle. And they may have had to kind of withdraw and regroup and restock their ammo. Or either they might even got afraid. A lot of things goes on in war. They may have even thought, "We can't take it. We can't take that hill." And we back off. And they may have backed off. But then the commander-in-chief, word comes down from him, "Take that hill. Destroy that stronghold." So they go at it again. And they may have to do it a third time and a fourth time. The orders keep coming down. The orders keep coming down. "I told you to take that hill, and my will don't ever change. This is what I want you to do. Destroy the strongholds of the enemy. Take it and take it now." And so we may fall in battle, but we get back up. And we clean up our weapons, and we load them up again, and we go at it again. I don't know how many times I've had to fight the same battle over and over and over until, praise God, the enemy retreated. There was something I prayed about for a long time that I was having a spiritual problem with. And I'm not going to go into detail, but I was having the awful... I was constantly, Brother Mark, being defeated in this particular area in my life. And I mean, this went on for years. Constantly defeated in this particular area. And I prayed. I finally came to the point. I said, "God, I want this to change. I keep giving in and keep giving in. I want this to change." Now, I wasn't addicted to dope, and I wasn't drinking, and I wasn't smoking or anything like that. But it, just to get some of these things out of your mind anyway. But it was a personal thing that the enemy just had me by the throat. And I prayed and I pleaded with God, "Please, God, I want to be right with you. Help me." And I'll tell you, God gave me the victory. He gave me the victory. I had to suffer some things. I had to go through some things in order to get the victory there. He gave me the victory. And I'm going to tell you, Brother Bill, I wouldn't take nothing for it. I had to fight that battle and fight that battle and fight that battle. But praise God, the Lord, not me, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Endure hardness. And you keep on until finally, praise God, you can plant the Christian flag on that hill. Because you won. You finally won. God won the battle for you. Hallelujah. I told you a few weeks ago, General George Patton said, courage is fear holding on just a little longer. Amen. Everybody gets afraid. But true courage is fear holding on just a little longer. It's hard for me to believe anybody can be on a battlefield in a literal battle and not be afraid. Maybe there are some Pattons around who could do that. I don't know. I don't even know if he could. There was ever a time that he wasn't afraid. If we know and believe what we read in the Bible, Christianity is not just fighting, but it is also not just shouting. Somebody said a Christian is the happiest, most miserable person in the world. I want to give you this. I'm fixing to quit. I'm not near done, but I'm going to have to quit. I want you to read it for yourself. Revelation chapter 21. Turn there with me. Revelation chapter 21. One beautiful verse of Scripture. This is something that ought to mean something special to every single one of God's people. You may be in the battle now. You may be fighting now. It may be difficult now. And if it's not, it will be tomorrow or the next day or that you can expect it. Revelation 21 and verse number 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Now I want to ask you a question. When is that going to take place? When is that verse going to take place? Is it going to take place here on this earth? Is there going to come a time here on this earth at 124 Yarborough Drive or at your place of residence? Is there going to come a time on this earth when God is going to wipe away all our tears? And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Is that going to happen here on this earth in this life? Are you looking for that to take place anytime soon in your life right here on this earth? You say, but preacher, I want that kind of life. I want to enjoy every day. Well, you can't do it, and I can't do it. Not in this world. That's not for the here and now. This is the age of battle. This is the age of war. Our Lord Jesus said this. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. But just because he has overcome the world don't mean that that's going to disannul the first thing that he said. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. And I don't care what any of us try to do to keep it from happening. We're going to have it. We're going to have it. Because Revelation 21 and verse 4 is talking about heaven. This world is full of misery and tears. Hell is full of misery and tears, the ultimate of it. It's only when we get to heaven, that's where the party begins. That's where the hallelujahs begin. That's where we will all live on Hallelujah Boulevard. And He's going to wipe away all our tears. Till then, I may be crying before the day's out. May be crying before the week is out. May be brokenhearted. May be disappointed. May be discouraged. May be cut and wounded and bruised by the enemy. I can expect it in this world. Even if you're lost, you can expect hardship in the world. And that is because no matter where you go in this world, no matter what you do, we are all, every one of us are like the little boy who wanted that bumblebee so bad, and he kept reaching for it and reaching for it, and he'd cry because he couldn't get it. He just thought that'd be the grandest thing to get that bumblebee in his hand. But if he catches that bumblebee, you know what's going to happen to him. No matter what we chase after in this world, we're going to be sorry when we catch it. You better know your adversary. Look up here at me. I'm not your adversary. Look around. Church is not your adversary. You don't want God as an adversary. You can't win. No, I'd rather fight the devil any day than fight the Lord. We ain't got much time left. It's just about done. This world has just about had it. Can't you look around and see that? The world has just about had it. I want to finish up good. I've been fighting too long. Brother Richard, I've been fighting too long. I want to finish up good. I don't want to become a prisoner of war. And I don't want to become a casualty of war. I want to finish up good. And they tell me, Brother Bill, that when those guys in Vietnam, when they saw those helicopters coming, when they knew that this, my time has come for me to go home, they said the most beautiful sight they saw were when the helicopter was coming. And they knew that that helicopter was coming after them to take them home. Praise the Lord, folks. Sometimes it's almost like I can hear the flutter of the helicopter off in the distance. Getting close for me, either by rapture or by death, it's getting very close for this preacher. I don't want to leave my wife. She and I fight together. I'd rather fight together than fight against one another. And we fight together. And I pray for her and she prays for me and we pray together for one another. And I hear her when she says, my husband. And she hears me when I say, my wife. And I say, Father, I want to thank you that my wife and I have fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to help my wife to be strong and especially on the days when I'm weak. And help me to be strong, especially on the days when she is weak, because we both have those days. And help me to be there for her and her to be there for me. And Lord, I want you to come. I'm longing to see the helicopters coming to take me home. The holy angels. But Lord, I kind of hate to leave my wife, because she and I have been fighting side by side for all these years. And I'm kind of crazy, I guess, but I kind of feel like she needs me. And I know I need her. Because I know if anybody's going to stand and fight with me and for me, it's going to be her. Amen. It's going to be my wife. Brother Harold Cooper said he thought that he was going to go before his wife did, because he'd been so sick now for years. For the last 3 or 4 years, he didn't know if he was going to get to have the camp meeting or not because of his heart conditions and such. He thought surely he would go first. And she thought, his wife thought, that he would. But you know, God has appointed days, and He's decreed, and He is sovereign. And so He took her first. And that surprised Brother Harold. I don't know which one of us will go first. I'm always telling her, surely I'm going to go before you do. And I kid around with her and tell her she'll probably pick some guy out at my funeral. We're fighting together. That's just about over, Susie. Just about over for me. Just about over for you. I'm ready. You ready? I believe you are ready. Y'all ready? Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that you love us so much that, Lord, you speak to us out of your word. I want to hear you today, Lord. I know I'm in a fight. I know, Lord, that this world is very dangerous. And I know we have to be very careful where we step, because the enemy has planted mines all around us. Heavenly Father, we know that we have got to constantly carry our weapon. Lord, we carry a sword in one hand and hopefully an olive branch in the other hand, that we may reach out to sinners who are lost and be ambassadors for Christ and let them know that you have come into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. And as long as they are fighting with the devil, they're on the losing end of this thing. And Lord, the only place where anyone can stand in the winner's circle is, Lord, by being on the Lord's side. And I praise you that we have hope. You've given us hope. Please help us, Lord, tomorrow and the next day and throughout the week and whatever time we have left, help us to stand for you, be clothed in the whole armor of God, and be courageous and fight skillfully, to be wise, and Lord, to indeed advance in your kingdom and to glorify you. I pray for this people. I thank you for them. I love them. And I pray for them that you will help each and every one of them, that none of them, Lord, will die shamefully on the battlefield. But Lord, if we die on the battlefield, I pray, God, that people will say, that was a holy man. That was a holy woman. They loved God right to the end. They got shot and filled full of holes. But they loved you to the end. And today, they have no regrets. They're so glad that they fought to the end. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.